Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I have a message I'm going to preach today, and the title of it is The Gospel of the Kingdom According to a Canine. How many of you have a dog? And let me ask this way. How many of you don't like dogs? You're dismissed. Shame on y'all. Okay? Look, Trish must not like dogs. She's leaving. No. Just picking on you. But anyway, I mean, if you've ever been around a dog any at all, and if you're a dog lover, not like some of us in the room, and with that, how many of you noticed there's some traits about a dog that I think are kingdom traits? Amen? Oh, wait, I think I know that dog right there. That's. Let me introduce y'all to Susan's love of her life. That is little guy Nash. He actually has his own Facebook page. And he's been known to hack into Susan's computer. We had to put passwords on all our computers and iPads so he couldn't get on Facebook. But he's been known to hack in there. But how many of you ever noticed that there are some traits in canine that if people would have the same traits, it would make the world better? Amen? You know, I have to tell you, last night we drove back into town. We did a conference in Philadelphia, Mississippi for a few days, and Dawn and Brian had actually kept little guy. He went over and visited his cousin. He has two cousins over at their house, Beanie and Jasmine. And Jasmine is a big German Shepherd, long-haired German Shepherd, about that tall. And Beanie's a little, rat terrier. And so he loved to go and visit with them when we go out of town. But you know what? The moment we got back into town, I want to tell you, he got in her lap, and he just loving on her, and he would come over on my side of the car and lick my hand. You know, dogs are loyal. How many of you have that friend in your life that's just there for you? They don't always agree with you. They don't always see it just like you do, but they're there. I mean, you can call on them in the middle of the night and say, you know, I'm not doing good, and they listen to you cry, you know, and maybe even get up in the middle of the night and bring you a quart of ice cream, your favorite ice cream, all right? You know, isn't that what we do? Sometimes we get down, we want some ice cream. And that, oh, wow. See, somebody, I wanted to tell you, some friend had to give him that ice cream, all right? And so I believe the kingdom is about being loyal in friendships. You know, I'm a man that my hand cleaves to the sword. Have you ever read that in God's Word? There was a man whose hand he was fighting. So I am so loyal in relationships that anytime a relationship changes or crumbles with me, it just tears my heart out. And dogs are that way. They are loyal. I have to tell you, I mean, now let me just talk a little bit about little guy for just a moment. If you got another picture of little guy, Brian, let me tell you about little guy. He's loyal to me. Yeah, here he is. He's a bad dude now, I'm telling you. But let me tell you about, he's loyal to me when she's gone. But when she's in the house, I want to tell you, she is the queen of the house. If she moves this way, he moves this way. In fact, sometimes when she's sitting in her chair doing work at home, her office chair, he gets in the chair behind her. And just, you know, he just wants to be as close as he can to her. You know, he just snuggles up to her. And he really likes a good Harley, I want to tell you. He's working on getting his patches with a group now. Dogs of America, all right? Not Hogs of America, Dogs of America. And so canines are loyal, and God's looking for people in the kingdom to just be loyal. You know, I this morning, someone that's working today, I just texted them and asked how they were doing today, and they thanked me for it. They said, it's good to know, you know, when I have to work these Sundays, it's good to know that somebody does care. Somebody does remember I'm out here. They're part of this house, but they have to work a lot of Sunday. And so God's looking for a people to be loyal like our canine, like our dogs are. And, you know, dogs are just amazing. I had an old dog year ago named Boxer, and he just loved me. I have to tell you, it was just incredible how much that dog loved me. He was just a, you know, a, I don't want to call him a half-breed, but he didn't know who his daddy was. Can I say it that way? You know, he was part Boston Terrier and part Pit Bull and part something else and everything. And he just loved me. I mean, just, you know, he just wanted to be near me. If I was over in those days, I had a trucking company, and if I was overhauling a diesel engine, he would just lay right up on the truck, you know, his old tongue run out of his mouth. And if I moved to the other side of the truck, he'd turn around on the fuel tank and he'd lay the other way. Dogs are loyal, and God's looking for people to be faithful, to be reliable, to be loyal. And isn't it interesting? You know, I believe I see the unconditional love of God through a dog's eyes. He, last night when we came in, because he had spent yesterday with Cousin Beanie and Cousin Jasmine in the yard, he had to have a bath. Little guy hates baths. Oh, he hates. And so she got him in the shower. She's bathing him. But you know what? And he was just horrified. He was upset at her. You know, he told me that he thought about biting her. Okay. And, you know, all of this stuff. But, you know, 5 minutes after she dried him off, he was back in love with her. He has unconditional love. Wow. Is that a panda bear? No. That's about the way little guy looked like. That's not little guy, but that looked like him last night when she wrapped him up. The second thing I want to talk about, the gospel of the kingdom, isn't it amazing how dogs are able to see people in their life with new eyes? We've never come home. We've never woke up in the morning. He's not excited. And I want to be around people that have these kingdom principles, that when I come into the room, they're excited to see me. I didn't know Ben was going to be here today, but Ben, I'm excited you're here. In fact, I'm going to go into the conversation, but some of the decisions you're making right now excites me. You know, it kind of say that Ben's really praying about settling in here a little bit and everything with his ministry. And that, can I tell you why it excites me? Because I'm going to get to see him more. And that excites me, because I have to say, every time I'm around Ben, it's like being around a dog. Oh. I leave there encouraged. I leave there. I want to tell you, this man has respect and honor. And when he's around me, he's so honored. Jordan's the same way, you know, with it. And you know, I like being around people that when I leave them, I feel better about myself. Amen? Yeah. You know, we all have had people in our life that tear us down. I don't like hanging around people like that. In fact, I'm not going to hang around people that are negative very long at all. I'm gonna find some reason to be nice and get away from them. Is that the phone ringing? No, you know, some reason to, you know, with it. They have an app out there that you can push on your phone and it'll ring your phone like you're getting a call so you can get away. I don't have it. I've seriously debated on getting it. All right, but I don't have it. I want to be around people that are positive. See, dogs have the ability to see every day the people they're around with new eyes. They're excited. They're longing for that. See, after a long day at the office on the drive home, what do you look forward to seeing? You know, is it your recliner, that meal that's waiting, whatever that's going on with you? What's that? See, dogs are always excited. Last night, even as we came down church and turned into the subdivision, and he knew we were getting home, and he jumped up out of her lap and got his feet up on the dash. You know, he went with us one time. We went and actually, he wasn't in the room with us, but he was in the hotel. No, actually, he was in the truck when I prayed for the governor of Arizona. Little guy went on that whole trip. We drove to Arizona, met with the governor, was at the governor's prayer breakfast and all of this. And then we end up going to Colorado. And can I tell you what? He slept on the way home in my lap most of the way. But you know, when we got to Arkansas, he started to perk up. And when we crossed that Memphis bridge, he knew something inside of him knew. And when we got down into South Haven, he was more alive. And when we turned into our subdivision, he started to bark. And he was, I have the gift of interpretation. And he was saying, "We're almost home." And he did what he did. See, I'd never had a lap dog before we got little guy. He just came in after sleeping all the way home and went to sleep. You know, that's just what he does. He curls up in her lap or near her or against her. And he goes, but see, God's looking for people that every time they see you, they're going to see you with new eyes. They're going to be excited about it. How about number three? Well, this is a big one. Isn't it interesting how easy dogs forgive and forget? Amen. I've stepped on his paw before. By the way, can I tell a dog joke? Would that be allowed? Y'all hear about the three-legged dog that went into a bar? And the bartender asked him, said, what are you doing in here? He said, I'm looking for the man that shot my paw. That'd be a good place for the dong. Forgive and forget. We accidentally step on them. We hear that awful yap. We're fearful we hurt them. You know, but then immediately they come back to us and they'll get in our lap and they forgive us. You know, that's the way God wants us to be. Isn't it interesting? That's a trait of God. Anybody here ever had to use the forgiveness of God for more than one time? More than two times? More than seven times 70? But isn't it interesting how easy God forgives? See, I believe that dogs have the same traits as God in that. They just forgive so easy, you know, with that. You know, I went to pick little guy up one time and didn't grab him just right and hurt him. And yet, you know, I just took in love. And I mean, pretty soon he's licking my hand again. Dogs have the trait. And see, God wants us. How many of you know that if you really forgive, you get to that place you forget? Amen? I went through some tremendous relationship situations in the last few years over my dad's death and some stuff. And I've now been restored to my sister. And I don't think about all those things. They don't, you know, I not only have forgiven, I'm able to forget those things. I'm able to move on. I'm just amazed how easy it is to be vulnerable again. How many of you know real relationships are built through vulnerability? Amen? And so we need to understand that the kingdom of God, according to a canine, is very clear. We just need to forgive, and then we need to forgive. You know, it's not that they can't hold a grudge. They choose not to. How many of you ever heard this? I've been on this a little bit. Y'all have heard this before, the shareholder. But how many of you have heard, you know, you're going to have to earn my trust? Canada, I don't believe that trust is something to earn. I believe trust is a choice. I choose to trust Ben. Amen? Now, if for some reason he won't, but if he violated that trust, you know, it causes us to take a step back. But how many of you know it's a choice? I don't care how good people live after they've made a mistake. God chooses to trust. He makes the choice to trust. We don't have to earn his trust.
Yeah.
When we say, Lord, I blew it, forgive me, I'm sorry, you know, whatever that it might be, he instantly begins to entreat us or to treat us in the same manner before that, because God makes the godly choice to trust. And we need to understand that when we forgive and when we forget, it's so beautiful about how the Spirit of the Lord just moves in a very tremendous way. And then number four, I love this about dogs. In fact, Ben, I refer to you being like a dog. I'm like a dog on this one. Dogs live life to the fullest. That's me. Back where I come from in Arkansas, they have a saying about me. They say I know two speeds, dead still and wide open, and I'm only dead still right before I go wide open. I mean, I love my life. Now, don't write me an email. I put that on Facebook reading. Somebody wrote me his email. You're supposed to hate your life. No, that's not what it's talking about. I'm not in love with, I'm loving the life that God has given me. I'm loving being surrendered to God. I wouldn't trade where I am for anything on earth. I mean, occasionally my mind drifts, and I would love to be 20 years old and know what I know today at 60.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, did I waste a few years, all right? But can I tell you what? That's not the way it happened. I told God one time in prayer, I said, God, the only mistake you made, I think we should have been born mature and grow younger back into our mother's womb? I mean, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't you like to be 3 years old and know what you know today? Boy, that would be dangerous. All right? That would be. But, you know, it's about living life to the fullest. Let me just tell you what I'm going to do this week. It's just in me. I told her, I just got to have a Harley ride this week. He said, where are you going? It don't matter. So many roads. It's not about where I'm going. It's about the ride. You know what? It's not about the destination. It's about the destiny. And God's lived that. I mean, dogs live that. God wants us to have that. You need to live life to the fullest. If you hate your life, can I just give you a key? Your world is what you make it. My world's got challenges. But can I tell you what? I choose to believe that tomorrow's going to be better than today. I choose to believe that the best is yet to come. I choose to believe that he said, I know the thoughts I think of you, thoughts to do you good and not to do you harm. That's the promise that my Father has given me. I choose to believe that. And isn't it amazing how dogs have that ability to just, I mean, last night, before he got his bath, we brought him home, and because he'd been gone from the house for a few days, Susan took him out in the backyard, and he did what dogs do. He had to go mark his territory again. He went to all four corners of that fenced-in yard, and he marked as dogs marked. I won't go into any more details, all right? He went all around that because that's his territory. That's his kingdom. That's it. But see, God created us to live life to the fullest. But you don't understand, Clay, that's my life so hard, and I'm going through this, and life has been disappointing. Listen, get focused not on what the enemy is doing in your life. Don't get focused on a hardship in your life. Get focused on the greatness of God. Amen. You're here today. You're breathing. We're not in a nation where they're killing people because we worship openly today. We're not. We're blessed beyond measure. Live life to the fullest like a dog. Got any more pictures, guys, you want to show? See, watch. Wow. That's scary. I think I saw one of those out in the woods one night when I was hunting. How about this one? Isn't it wonderful how a dog loves to just take a hike? Can I tell you why? Let me tell you the kingdom principle here. We need to enjoy creation. I am so looking forward to hunting season. Can I tell you why? In fact, where's Vicki Berry? I just told Vicki this morning she's got a new camera that's got a 42x zoom, and I'm thinking about buying one of them, and she's going to loan me her camera so I can go and just take some pictures, with that. And I just love to be out in nature. I went a week ago and spent a little bit of time where we deer hunt, and had my snake boots on with that. And, just easing around to see, what's going on there. But creation is God's. I fully believe. Anybody here been to the Grand Canyon? Hold your hand up, been to the Grand Canyon. I believe as a lost heathen, I could have stumbled upon the Grand Canyon and discovered God. That is the most awesome piece of earth that I have ever seen in my life. I've been there more time than we care to talk about. We used to take youth groups to the Navajo Indians every year, and we'd always have to carry the new group to the Grand Canyon. I mean, it's kind of old hat. We were there last year when we rode out with Dawn and Brian on the Harleys last year, and we were at the Grand Canyon. And I'm not a good tourist. Once I've seen something 28 times, it just doesn't hold that new to me. I hardly ever. There's only about four movies in my life that I've watched more than two times. And with it, it's just not who I am. But see, we can learn to just take a hike. I put a posting. How many of you saw the deal about rain the other day that I put on there? I think Bob Marley's one that said it. He said, some people, how did it go? Some people some people feel the rain, other people get wet. My, can I just tell you? When it's raining and we come out of a restaurant, she hurries with an umbrella in the car and I walk slower. I like to feel the rain. In fact, one day recently when I was down on the deer farm just checking things, it rained the whole afternoon. I just stayed out. I was soaking wet. In fact, when I rode my four-wheeler back out of the hay field, I was in the hay field, the grass seed. And I would just, I mean, I looked like that guy on the commercials, got money on him and billed, but I had grass seed. I mean, I was covered. I looked like some kind of weird dude, man, you know, with that. I had grass seed, but I enjoy the rain. Dogs are that way. See, God created the kingdom. He created creation for us to enjoy it. Right now, the hummingbirds are just, I mean, she's having to fill her hummingbird feeders every other day almost. Because they're getting fattened up so they can head south, you know, further south. They're migrating right now. And I love to sit out on our patios. I mean, sometimes we'll have 20 of them one time. I mean, she's actually filled a hummingbird feeder before and be carrying out of the house to rehang it. And they'll start feeding out of what's in her hand. I love creation. I wish I'd have got a picture. I didn't. Somebody sent me a picture. I didn't get it to the guys up there. But how many of you have been hearing about they're now sighting again a real rare species called the white falcon? I wish I had this picture so I could show you. How many of you have ever seen a white falcon? Nobody here has ever seen a white falcon? We used to ride around in one when we were younger. Somebody sent me a picture of one perched in a tree with that. I thought that was, but see, what I'm trying to help you understand and what we need to understand about, even about church ought to be fun. There's time to be serious. You know, I asked the Lord about this. This is what, National Go Back to Church Day or something like that. Bring your friends to church. I don't know. That's why you're invited here. But we want you to understand, we're not trying to proselyte you. Maybe, just maybe one person that's come with a friend today, you've been a little turned off because church has been so religious and so demanding. And, you know, I just hate churches that tell you all the things you can't do. Yep. I'm sure none of you have ever experienced that in the Memphis area. Can I give you a picture? This is, that, you know, anybody ever took your dog to the park? I know my daughter and I'll do it. Anybody over here? Aaron has? Who else ever took your dog to the park? Matt and Natalie, they've got a couple of dogs. One day they had their dogs here and they were chasing rabbits out here in the churchyard, you know, and stuff. But let me tell you how religion would do it with your dog. They carry their dog to the park, and before they take the dog off the leash, it's a park where your dog can run free. They say, "Now, don't go near that lake. You might fall in and drown, and don't go near the railroad track, and don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do that. Now, this is your part. Go have fun." How many of you know when you get a list of all the things you can't do, it takes away the fun? But see, that's what religion does in the Memphis, Mid-South area. It wants to zero in on all the things we can't do. But let me tell you what God, how God does it. He takes Ben down to this park. Remember I said Ben's like a dog? And he takes Ben down to the park. And he said, "Ben, this is your park. Have fun." Now, in this park, there's a lake, and it's deep right at the bank. It's 10 foot deep right at the bank. You know, if you fall in a lake, it's 10 foot deep right at the bank. That's dangerous. And in this park, there's a railroad track, and every 30 minutes, a train comes through at 60 miles an hour. But God says, "Ben, this is your park. Go have fun." And because Father God is such a good father, if Ben gets a little close to the lake, he said, "Come on back to Daddy." If he gets a little closer to the road track, he said, "Come on, Ben, come over here and be a little closer to Daddy." See, religion wants to confine you. Let me tell you what relationship with God does. It gives you liberty. It's not without some boundaries, but God doesn't set the boundaries. What he wants to do is he wants you to learn on your own that that lake is dangerous and stay away. So he gives you the freedom, but he doesn't let you get close enough you fall in. He tugs on your heart. Anybody here ever had him tug on your heart? The other day, we left going to Glory of Zion to be there at the head of the year meetings, and we got into Arkansas. This was a conference in Texas with Chuck Pierce, and we got in Arkansas, and I actually that morning we'd been very slow about leaving, and I kept telling Susan, something's not right. And anyway, long story short, we got on the road, we got over into Arkansas, and I pulled off on an exit. I said, I can't go. And we turned around and came home. And then on Thursday night, there was some ministry that came forth to me personally. And when the ministry finished up, the Lord said, this is why you couldn't go, because this needed to happen before you went there and got the words you would have got there. How many of you understand there's an order to God? And dogs understand that. They just live life to the fullest. They just do the things that God wants them to do. You need to understand that they enjoy creation. Isn't it amazing about it? You know, in our subdivision, people walk their dogs, and their dogs mark their territory at our mailbox. And so if we let the little guy out that side of the house, the first thing he does is go down and remarks his territory. That's his. See, we need to enjoy creation. My last point. And please, nobody do this one right now. Okay? But see, dogs know how to take a nap. Let me tell you how that, you say, how's that kingdom? See, we need to learn. In fact, I'm going to look up a scripture and read it to you. But we need to learn how. We need to learn how to operate from the rest of the Lord. Can I tell you? Was this man here that came? Up here, I haven't met you. God so has some blessings for you. He so cares about everything about you. I don't want to paint the wrong gospel. It doesn't mean that hardships won't come. Do you understand? I've referenced this all day. A medical doctor made a mistake and took my dad's life. Dad was my hero. My dad was my best friend. My dad's life was shortened. But God, I'm not bitter, because I understand in this world that God created that is filled with imperfect people who make mistakes, that bad things happen to good people. And so I've forgiven the surgeon. Yeah, can I just give you a little history? He's got 7 malpractice lawsuits going against him. He's under sanction in the state that he's in because of that. He's actually being required to be retrained as a surgeon. So, I mean, we know that he made a mistake. But I'm not bitter towards him. Do I occasionally, you know, think about it? You know, one of the things that was on my dad's bucket list was for me and him and my son, who my dad's name was Robert Dean Nash. My son's name is Robert Dean Nash II. And my grandson, Robert Logan Nash. We were all going to drive the Alcan Highway to Alaska together. I never got to do that. But I'm not going to live in what could have been or should have been. See, one day, Logan and Dean and I, and probably my son-in-law, we're going to load up and we're going to do it. And we're going to do it in memory of Dad. Let me look this scripture up real quick. We got to learn to take a nap. In other words, we got to learn to trust God. We got to learn to operate from the rest of the Lord. There's any of you like a little, you know, come on, I know you're in church, but anybody like a little rock music? Man, I'm a CCR guy, okay? But I also like the Eagles. Anybody like the Eagles? Woo. Look up their song, Learn to Be Still. It is so kingdom. It's as kingdom as any song we sang here today. In fact, what was their last, anybody, if you're an Eagles guy, what was their last album that they came out of? Long Road Out of Eden. That was their last album that came out with. Those guys have got a touch of God on their life. You know, you need to understand. You know, there's a lot of guys that are going back to that had their roots in the gospel, and they're going back to that. And even I've heard Bono recently. You know, Bono was a worship leader in a vineyard church in Ireland before he became U2. We need to realize this about it. But see, the church has done. I'm going to tell you a sad story, and then I'm going to read this scripture. I'm not going to say who it was. It happened in Memphis, but there was an older pastor. And when he had, after he had pastored 60-some years, he was speaking to a group of young pastors who were less than 30 years of age. And at the end of the session, they asked him, said, after 62 years of pastoring, what's your greatest regret? And that's a good question, isn't it? And he became very broken, and this is what he said. He said, years ago, I had a young man come into my office and play some songs on his guitar. And I looked across my desk and I said, young man, you can't play that kind of music in church. And that young man walked out of my office and never came back to my church again. And he was Elvis Presley. I can't speak for other churches in the area, but I can tell you in this church, we're not going to drive away those who are creative. Because, see, the church has taught that some things are right and wrong. That's a religious idea. It's not about whether something's right or wrong. It's about, does it produce life or death? That song, Learn to Be Still, it produces life. Contrary to what's taught, do you, anybody here a Creedence fan? Creedence Clearwater? Anybody remember that? Proud Mary, keep on burning. Anybody ever heard tell that was about marijuana? That's what the church had taught, religion had taught, that it was talking about marijuana burning. That song was written in Memphis, Tennessee. And that band, John Fogerty and them, were sitting on a boat called the Mary Woods II. It used to be a tugboat that pushed barges up and down. A friend of mine owned that boat at the time. His son was with John and them when they wrote that. And that song was about that boat. But yet, the religious people who want to tell you that rock music's wrong they redefine truth so that they can condemn something. See, it's not about whether something's right or wrong. Does it produce life? Does it produce death? Listen to this. I love this text right here. Here's what I want you to do. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6. Remember about a dog taking a nap? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you will not be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simple and honest as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Isn't it amazing how a dog can just curl up anywhere and be happy? Because they know the rest of the Lord. See, I believe that creation is more connected to the Creator than we are sometimes. But what I want to pray, I want to close this message right now. And let me just say to every visitor, we have plenty of food over there. If we don't, there's a Kroger's nearby, we'll get some more. But we do. Please join us. But here's what I want to pray. I want to pray that the kingdom of God will be ever expanding in your life. What did he say in the book of Romans? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. You know how righteousness comes? Through repentance. What is repentance? When you start thinking differently. Henry Ford one time went to a banker and wanted to borrow the money to start his factory assembly line of manufacturing Ford cars. And this is what the banker said to him. He said, you foolish boy, you get out of here. I'm not about to loan you any money. Don't you know that automobile won't last? The horse is here to stay. How many of you think he need to repent? Repentance is not just saying I'm sorry. Repentance is about taking on a different way of thinking. And then it speaks about peace. Where does real peace come from? Obedience. When's your greatest time of peace? When you've been obedient, isn't it? Y'all don't know this about, but Ben's from up in Iowa, and years ago his dad told him, he said, Ben, I'm going to work, mow the yard today. Just about the time he's getting the lawnmower. I mean, it's the first mowing of the year. The lawnmower hadn't been started. The blades hadn't been sharpened. He's just getting it out in the driveway. And all of his buddies come by with a baseball bat and a ball and a glove. And they said, "Hey, we're going down the vacant lot down on the corner. We're going to play ball today." And Ben suddenly has amnesia. Or at least forgetfulness. And he grabs his glove and he goes with them and they play ball all day. And that afternoon, about 5 o'clock, when his dad got off work, he's coming back and Ben hears him coming. He knows it's his dad because the muffler's off his dad's pickup. Am I painting a picture in your mind? And all of a sudden, when he hears that truck coming down that street and that roar of that engine without a muffler on it, his peace leaves him. So you didn't know I knew this about you. See, peace comes when you've been obedient. And how about the last one? It said joy. Where do you get your greatest joy? Isn't it relationship? My greatest joy is my relationship with Jesus Christ. But can I tell you what? My second greatest joy is sitting right here. For those visiting, we've been married 40 years this year. But can I tell you, beyond that, we've been friends for 52 years. Wow. I knew her before she was born. And then, stand up for a minute. This is my oldest daughter, oldest child. Stand up, Dawn, for just a minute. Here's another joy. And her husband, Brian, is back, I guess, getting the meal ready and doing things for me. And then I could talk about the other spiritual sons and daughters and Dan and Vicky. We've probably been friends now close to 20 years or over 20 years. Some of you, I'm getting to me. Just learned how to love Zach and Beth. Now they're talking about moving. I told God this week, "God, this ain't right." Some of you I've not met yet, but I like you. You know why I like you? I can tell you, it's real to you. You're a no-nonsense guy. I'm the same way. I like that about you. You know. Dogs know how to define that secluded place. They know, listen, not one time has the little guy ever been worried that there wasn't going to be food in his bowl. Especially when Susan's mom was living with us. She would ask two or three times every day, "Does that dog have food?" But we take care of him. Can I tell you what? If we take so good a care of our animals, and we do in this nation, how much greater is Father God, who loved you so much, he sent his son. Let me share with you what I hope came out of today. You're here because a friend invited you to be here. There's two things to ask for. If maybe your relationship is not where it should be with God, something has been said today to where you'll renew that. But if your relationship is where it needs to be with God, but maybe you've been a little bit challenged, hurt, disappointed, frustrated, upset, or angry at the church, here in the Bible buckle, we wanted to give you a good taste of how lighthearted church could be, how a service could be, how the presence of God could be honored through worship, but yet the preaching can be in a manner that will cause you to grin a little bit. I want to pray a blessing over you. And could I ask this? We're not trying to single you out. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. But everybody that's a guest here today, you came because someone invited you today. Would you honor us and just stand on your feet, and I'm going to pray this blessing over you. We're just going to ask God to bless you right where you stand. Would you just honor us and stand? Thank you for that. This is a great honor that you would do that. And I just want you to know, if there's anything I can tell you, I've been walking with him for a long time now. Let me tell you, just give me just a minute while you're standing. My background was not church. My mother and dad divorced the first time when I was 12 years old. My mother and dad were divorced and married each other three times. I know the heartaches of divorce. I was not raised in church. My dad was a workaholic. My dad was an alcoholic. My dad was a womanizer. He didn't get born again to 63 years of age. So I wasn't raised in church. And can I just talk and down on? I was meaner than a junkyard dog. I was so angry. I just looked for men to hurt. Because of all that anger. Her parents prayed every day for me. Here's my testimony. When her parents, probably all my life, but especially when her parents started praying, Jesus started kissing me and continued to kiss me through all my... I was an adulterer. I was a drug addict. I abused alcohol. I was a workaholic. And he just kept kissing me to finally one day, on March the 24th, 1981, I puckered up and kissed back. And we've had a love affair ever since. And he came in and changed me. I shared this in Philadelphia. On that day, that night, in a little bitty Methodist church in a little town, population 400, Wheatley, Arkansas, this woman right here got a new husband. Same man, new husband. Actually, a different man. I don't know how you say that. But anyway, I was different. And I just want you to know, he can make that difference in your life. Father, I bless our guests today. I thank you that they chose to come. I thank you, Lord, that you care about them. I thank you, Lord, that the thoughts you think of them is to do them good and not to do them harm. I thank you, Lord, that the blessings of God are upon them. I declare they're blessed coming in. I declare they're blessed going out. I declare in the days to come, let something that happened here during this short time we've had together that will trigger something in their heart to where they'll take a step closer to you, Lord. Lord, I'm not saying they're not where they need to be, but I want to be closer to you tomorrow and next week and next month and next year than I am right now. Lord, I'm reminded now of what Einstein said. He said, you'll never solve a problem at the same level of thinking you created it. And Lord, off of that, you spoke to me that I would never resolve an issue at the same level of relationship with you that I had when I created it. So, Lord, I want to be closer to you, and that's my prayer for our friends and guests that have come today. Bless them coming. Bless them going. Bless them in the field. Bless them in the city. Cause them to be blessed beyond measure. And, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in their life now. In Jesus' name.